What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Founders Lounge. I'm Don. Today we have a very, very cool special guest. Got to know this guy through, again, the Sorenex community, man. I think I've met some pretty extreme and intense individuals through Sorenex, man. It's great. It's been a good network. Chad Conley, how you doing, man?
Don, I'm doing great. Thanks. Yeah, Sorenex is that's like a family reunion every time we go. I love it.
It's awesome. So how's things been, man? How's the latest events you guys have been doing?
You know, it's been great. I retired out of 20 years as a Green Beret August 1st. So really? officially now a free agent, to think of it that way. But it's been great. The 50 itself, the foundation has been just evolving in some massive ways and really blessed. And a lot of that is due to Bert Soren and the way he'll put interesting people in a room and walk away. So
that is awesome. Bert. Yeah. He's got a pretty cool analogy that he uses when he describes that too, that, you know, never walk past an open door. I kind of like that. That was always kind of cool.
So yeah, that's he got that from us, I think, because that's one of our things in CQB is you never walk past an open door. It's guns up first and around. So it's funny to hear him say that.
Yeah. Well, guys, for those of you guys that don't know who Chad is the founder of 50 for the Fallen. It's a nonprofit 501(c)(3), right? Or
C3? Yeah, 501(c)(3). That's correct.
Cool. Well, just tell everybody about it, man. You and I recently connected after Winter Strong this year. We were kind of blessed and honored to be involved in. Have we done two or three events with you now?
You've done two events right now.
Yeah, the third coming up. Nice. So, I mean, I think it's an awesome cause and what you're doing. And I just really wanted you to come on and share it with everybody, man. It's awesome.
Well, thank you for giving me the time. This started because during COVID, May of 2020, Memorial Day, I've always taken that time to really, you know, reflect and say thank you to the people that aren't here anymore, who are my friends, because I was honored enough to know them and they've truly impacted my lives. And May of 2020 was no different, except for COVID and everyone was away. So instead of my guys and I being together, we were apart. So I contacted friends and say, I got to do something. And when I normally tell my friends, hey, I got to go get something done or do something, they're like, well, he's going to go crazy again. And this time I'd watch Cool Hand Luke again for the 1,000th time, because it's my favorite movie. And he eats 50 eggs. And when Newman eats 50 eggs, I'm like, I can walk 50 miles, and in 50 miles, I'll get my head right. So about a week before I was going to do the event, I started talking to some friends of mine. It was Gunnar Peterson, it was Bo Sandoval, Brandon Lilly, you know, just some really like awesome, interesting cats said, yeah, I'm in, let's do this. So I took off on a walk, and then I would get in with those guys. And the next thing I know, I've got some therapy happening with myself, because I'm just kind of letting it happen. And I've told this story a bunch. I had this one time I was going to take a right turn. I was on the road and take the crosswalk and keep walking my route. And some lady who saw me on the news, because they did a story that morning, and I was doing it midday. The lady, where your head goes, the body follows. And she almost hits me, not paying attention, waving and saying hi. So the next time around, I go up a hill that I hadn't planned for. And for that ruck, I had like a 65-pound pack. So it was, you know, breaking me off a bit. And I just start running up the hill, and I just start screaming my friend's name. I get to the top of the hill, and I break down, like physically, mentally, emotionally. It put me to a place that I needed to be. And I just kind of like had a moment where I said goodbye to him. And he died in 07, in November of 07, right around Veterans Day. And it just kind of like sunk onto me. So that sprung board into friends of mine seeing it, talking to me about it. And people said they needed it too. So we went to New York City for the 20th anniversary of 9/11, which is why we all joined. And I'm fortunate enough through Bert, thanks again, Bert, to meet Donovan and Dana Santis. And Dana, you know, works with the Yankees, or with Donovan, who works with the Yankees, Dana with the Blue Jays. But Donovan connected me with them. They were really great people. We started at the stadium, went around for 50 miles through all of New York. And around the 38, 39 mile mark across on the Brooklyn Bridge, people start talking about their friends that are gone. And that's when the magic happened, because what happened to me going up that hill, running around, happened to them. And then, you know, strong, tough guys open up, get emotional, things happen. At the end of it, everyone's having a laugh, you know, just saying, damn, I missed that guy. And it was, you know, just bringing that out. And that's where it started, because I knew if it worked for me and it worked for them, it would work for everyone. And since September 11 of 2021, we've now done about 12 of these offhand, I think. We've got four more this year, from Shanksville, Pennsylvania, to Dallas, Texas, to Green Bay with the Packers, and Nyack, New York. So that's September, October, November, December. We're stacking them this year. And, you know, we started this year, March in Atlanta, with you guys, with the team out there in Round Rock and Austin, Colorado. And June, we had to Colorado Springs and in Indianapolis, which is your team out of Fisher, who came out and just was amazing for us. And each one of these we do, we get a different person who's going to bring up a friend, who's going to break down, who's going to talk. And then afterwards, they open up even more, because you go back to where you're from. Those that you rocked with and have this shared experience, you're now accountable to each other. And the next thing you know, a little like group fraternity is built, and everyone wants to, you know, keep that connection. I'm going long here, but there was one I got to talk about. We were in Oahu.
You're fine.
Yeah, thank you. So we're in Oahu. It's Pearl Harbor last year, 2022. We finished the ruck, and we finish early morning of December 7th as World War II vets, and Korean War vets, Vietnam vets, and everybody are piling into that area. It's 6:37 a.m. We're coming into there, and all these vets are coming in. So we're having this big gathering meeting, and everyone's talking. And I get up, and I always ask him afterwards, you know, like, why did you do this? You just chose to give of your time, of your body, your family's time, which is more important than anything. Why did you do this? And one of my friends stepped up, who had done three of these. It took him 150 miles to talk. And he said, I'm doing this because I had a friend who committed suicide, and I've seen him in front of me for the last three rucks. And he always helps lead our rucks out. And he's like, I've seen him in front of me for the last three rucks, and I can now talk about it because I was able to say goodbye to him on this one. And that's why we do it, because it stops that trauma cycle. People get to open up and communicate. And now we're able to do this and raise money. And we are sending veterans to outpatient mental health. Over the weekend, I was in Green Bay just this last weekend. So I'm in Green Bay working with the Packers. And I get phone calls coming in from my chief of operations, Katie, and she's talking about how we got three vets who need help. And over the weekend, we were able to send people to three locations. And two of them are still in treatment. One of them, she's out, and she's already sent a handwritten letter to say thank you. And it's like, cool, you're a mother, you have a family, and we're going to help you stop that generational trauma that has just caused you to just be stuck in this quagmire of depression. And we can get them to places like Warrior's Heart that do amazing work. And, you know, they're a private organization, because that way they can go by HIPAA laws and nobody knows what's going on behind those walls. You're just getting the care you need, which was the hardest thing for my guys and group for years to understand, that HIPAA says they can't say, unless you want to hurt yourself or someone else, they are not allowed to talk about you. So we sent people to Warrior's Heart, and we're going to continue to do it. And that's where we are now. So now that I'm fully retired, I'm full out in the game. Hey, it's a full nonprofit. This is what we are doing. And because of this, just this last weekend, we got three people help, which to me, that's what matters most.
That's awesome, man. I've never, as long as you and I have known each other, and we've like you let us get involved in a couple of these, I don't think I ever heard your why or your mission and passion behind what 50 for the Fallen actually is and does. That was awesome. I've never heard that before. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I think, you know, I never got to serve in our military. It was a choice I made when I was younger, but I'm always more than willing to do whatever I can to help, because I'm friends with hundreds, if not thousands, of guys that have. And to hear the struggles that you just talked about, it's very apparent that it's needed. And it's kind of hard to find an organization that really has a true, I don't know if I want to use the word integrity, but, you know, like a true good, how do I say that? You know, that have good intentions with the money, you know, that actually use the money for something that's going to make a real difference instead of giving it to a large organization where the money and the help is going to get lost or diluted, because I've seen a lot of that too. That's awesome, man. I love that.
Thanks. The reason I went with I didn't want to start my own nonprofit. I was the SOCOM Warrior Care Program West Regional NCOIC for 3 years. I had 51 units under me from Texas to Korea. Everyone in black, Whiteside, soft, CIA. I would go to the hospitals when they were injured. I talked to them. I talked to the family, the military. I take care of the things and fly out. I became a Mr. Wolf for that part of the world. And I started to see a lot of nonprofits. And I saw some really, really, really good ones and ones that to me were questionable, is all I'll say. And at the end of the day, I never wanted to have my own because I always wanted to assist and help others. But you leave a lot of money on the table of care if you don't put your hands out there and play it. You know, if you don't put, you know, get out there, sure, get a hand dealt and play. So myself and Darren Behealer and Duncan Butler, you probably know Duncan from Sorenex, mm-hmm, and Darren Behealer is a man you'll have to meet, hopefully in Dallas, if you can make it. He was a Green Beret and now he's just crushing life as an executive for a very, very well-known staffing company. And the three of us together kind of like starting to put this on. We brought on another individual, Katie, and Katie is, a mastermind of just getting things done and just incredibly intelligent and gifted. So, we've now been able to really affect change, and to see where we're going in 2024 with this team, I couldn't be happier. Like the board we have, the team that's coming on board, our cadre, we're going to go with goons. But I don't want everyone calling my people goons. So we're going to call them cadre because as we call each other, it's the goon squad. They're like your 2 a.m. call people. Like you got something going on at 2 a.m. They just say, you driving or am I driving? And that's it. So we built this amazing team. And I got to say, honestly, I got to say a big thank you to you for the fact that since meeting you, shaking your hand, looking you in the eye, you guys have just said yes at Clean Eats. And to work with you guys has been astounding. Because it just went from casual conversations to emails to phone calls to now it's like I feel like we're in some ways teamed up and I love it. And I'd love to punch Rick in the nose and take that team away from him at Colorado Springs and own it for myself and be like, you know, Rick, you beat me to that one. But no, it's awesome, man. Like you guys have been amazing for us. Thank you.
No, man, we're honored to do it. I mean, I kind of brag about some of our ownership, you know, in our franchise community. Some of our best owners are veterans. So, you know, when you and I were talking about this, this was kind of a no-brainer for me. And I knew that the majority of them would jump all over it, given the chance to support and try to do what they could to help. So it's been really good. So, I mean, I always kind of like to give you a hard time. Like, I think a lot of people underestimate when they hear how long 50 miles is with a ruck pack on your back. Like, I mean, when I was talking to you the other day and I was joking with you about bringing one to Wilmington, I was like, man, one of these days he's actually going to fucking do it. And then I'm going to have to commit to this. And then I might actually have to train.
Yeah, it's going to be 2025. That's actually on the calendar for 2025 is to come out to North Carolina, Wilmington, do the coast out there. So, yeah, that's really what I'm looking at. 24, we've got the cake baked. But 2025, I want to be out there in your guys' neck of the woods.
So you're telling me I should start rucking now.
Yeah, well, we've got Bragg next year. We'll be there in 2024 to do a 50. And then there's some other stuff coming out very soon where we're going to have some other options for those if they want to get into it.
We just recently, we actually haven't even went public with it yet, but we started our own, you know, nonprofit through Clean Eats almost a year and a half ago. We started the foundation, and it's taken us that long to, you know, get the legalities and all of the, you know, the red tape and the hoops that you have to jump through to get it set up legally. But, you know, that's another thing that when people see things like this happen, how much work behind the scenes goes into something like this. It's not something, you know, you get together one day with a group of people and you want to, you know, you're obviously out to make a difference and to do something great, but it takes a lot of work, man. I mean, like, it's a lot of work to put something like what you have here together.
It's earned. I will say that it's something of an effort. And I think there, you know, for us being a smaller grassroots nonprofit, it's a lot more than others. We don't have a giant financial backer. We don't have a bunch of folk that are dumping in large sums right now. It's more of like the small donations. And to me, that's better because everyone who jumps in has buy-in in 2024 evolving a little larger. This year we are too with the November ruck with the Green Bay Packers, because that'll be televised and it's going to like jump us up. But at the same time, it is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week thing that you have to live, because at any time the phone can ring and they being whoever is in need. And you just get a call and say, yes, here's where we are, what we can do. There's been times that I financially, we couldn't cover because we're smaller. So I've brought in other nonprofits that do care. And it's turned into a community, even within the nonprofit community. But it's earned. It's definitely isn't. Thank you. And you guys understand that too. Mm-hmm. It takes so much to do it right, because we could have jumped in and done this wrong, but I'd much rather take care of folk now than have to fix things later.
Yeah. I know one of the, you know, we're planning to do our national convention that we do every year. We usually do it at the end of September. This year we're pushing it into October, and just because it's so freaking hot here on the coast, we wanted another 2 weeks of to let it try to cool off a little bit. But you know, we're doing a silent auction at our convention this year, and that's going to be, you know, kind of the first kickstart of fundraising money, you know, to start it basically. And, you know, it's a very uncomfortable territory for me to reach out and ask people to help with that. Like, I've never had to do that before. It was kind of a weird feeling. And, you know, a good friend of mine in St. Louis, Kyle McClellan, works for the Cardinal organization. He has a nonprofit that I've been a part of, and with trips to Haiti and, you know, doing trips like that. And he's got a big gala that he does every year. And he's got this huge, like, sports memorabilia silent auction that he does. And it's, like, super cool stuff, man. Like, hard-to-get stuff. Like, one of a kind. And, you know, I called him one day when I was starting to try to plan to put ours together. And I'm like, man, how do you go about getting that kind of stuff? You know what I mean? Like, just talk to me about your process. And he's like, man, it's one of the most uncomfortable things and steps that you have to take to get it done. And he's like, literally, you just pick up the phone and ask.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I can do that, man. That's going to be hard for me to do. But I mean, lo and behold, I just, you know, I immediately started with, okay, well, who do I know within, you know, the groups of people that I know, a lot of them through Sorenex, a lot of them through other networks of people. And, you know, when I started to explain our mission and why we're doing what we're doing and what it's going for, I mean, it was like a breeze after that. And I was like, okay, maybe this won't be so hard if people can understand your true meaning and your true passion behind it, and they believe in what you're doing, then, you know, it won't be that bad.
No, it's not, but it is. I mean, for every, like, I grew up very poor. And, you know, after my father got very sick, I started to raise my sister when I was 12, she was 8. I kind of became a parent. And, you know, through all that, it was hard for me to ever ask for help for anything. And then as you go through the military, like, you're pretty much on your own with a lot of stuff in the Q course. And when you're a new guy in group, but once you're in group, you're part of a family, but you're still, walls are up and you're toughed up. When a nonprofit comes about and you're working that, I mean, you understand. It's like, okay, cool. I'm gonna tell you what's going on. I'm gonna tell you my goal with this, my vision with this, and I'm gonna ask you for something to help us out. And that last part there is still hard for me to do, to say, hey, you know what? Here's what we're doing. Here's how we're helping others, and I'd love you to be a part of that. And that's the hardest thing, whether it's something that you can use for an auction, whether it's you know, a financial donation, whether it's anything. That's where for me, I'm slowly killing my ego. And I'll probably talk about this again. I love going to therapy for that. I love finding ways to get rid of the thing that blocks me from just being, which is my ego, and saying, oh, I can't do that, or I shouldn't. It's like, no, you can, you should, because this is your job now. Your job is to help others. When I was, you know, in my old job for 20 years, if I was stacked on a door and I was the one man and no one else was behind me for the next door, I'd always say, give me one. Somebody would come over and two people would clear the room. That's the same thing when you have a nonprofit, is you're the one man on the door and you're getting ready to go in, but you need someone to be behind you. You need that shoulder squeeze to say, I'm ready. That's what you're getting every time someone donates, helps, you know, does anything for the organization. And then you go to the next room, or you know, as Bert says, you know, you walk through open doors, you're going through those doors, you're clearing, and you keep rolling, and it never ends. Or it shouldn't. As soon as it starts to end, that's when those nonprofits that get questionable, because you're more about your bottom line and what you're getting paid than how you're helping. But to me, that's how I always look at it now is, okay, I'm in the door, give me one. I need someone to help me get through this door to get to the next level. And whether that's a dollar donation, whether that's working with the NFL or Spartan Race or these other organizations, or like you yourself, that's what it was. I had to swallow pride. Like, here's who I am. Here's what I do. And I was pretty vulnerable when I met you the first time at Winter Strong. I had surgery. I had full knee surgery 7 days before. Like I had, you know, I was hobbling around all wrapped up. Greg and the team over at Wolf Brigade were working me through some flows. But I was pretty vulnerable because I couldn't really walk. So I was kind of like, okay, yeah, let's just do this. But that's what it is. And I really think it's us getting out of our headspace and being like, okay, I need help. But what help do I need? Which is the same thing people you help and I help have to ask for, which is even more brave and it's harder to do because I'll ask for money or stuff. You know, I'll ask for flyer miles or points for hotels. I'm not asking for someone right now to help me get into therapy or alcohol treatment or drug addiction treatment. That's another kind of a bravery. And that's even heavier sometimes in combat. Cause a lot of my friends, we did combat. You get off a bird and it's brown out. So there's like fog or dust everywhere. As soon as that clears, you know what you're doing and you know the enemy. Well, what do you do if you're in therapy and you're the person that you're looking at in the mirror as the enemy? When it's not you, it's stuff that you went through. And it's the same thing where you got to be able to say, okay, I need one help. So that's what it all is. And it's awesome you're able to do that and call those people and realize that, okay, I can do this. And after the first few, it gets better. There's a fellow at Winter Strong named Nick Merrick. He runs Green Beret Racing. He's a big old tall 6'4" looking Tom Selleck guy. He's got the stash and everything. That's something he had told me. He's like, ask everyone. He said, you never know who you're going to talk to. Ask everyone. Lose the ego. Pride is the one thing that'll stop you in this. So I took that to heart because I saw what he did over that weekend and as well. And I brought him there. I was like, you need to be here. And it worked out. But yeah, that's the one thing that I still struggle with, to be honest, just coming up, growing up like so broke was saying, hey, guys, here's what we're doing. And we could use, you know, some help. So it's a. Yeah, it's still something. And that's just killing ego.
Yeah. I kind of struggle with that outside of the, and just literally, man, almost everyday life. You know what I mean? Outside of asking for things for the foundation and things like that. It's more or less coming out of your comfort zone and putting yourself out there. And like you said, dropping your ego and getting uncomfortable, being in front of anyone, really. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I think going to events like Winter Strong have helped, you know, definitely because, you know, you would think going to something like that, that it's going to be very ego driven, that everybody there is going to have something that they have to prove or, you know, it'll be, you know, one big dick swinging contest. And it's never been like that ever. It's never been like that at any of those events with those guys that I've ever been to.
No, because the biggest dick in the room is Laura Zara's. And she's the toughest. She's the toughest one of us all. So it's probably. Like if anyone wants to swing, you look at Laura, and then everyone just shuts up.
Yeah, but you know the first couple of years that I went, I was very bad about not walking up to people that I didn't know. You know what I mean? And trying to go out of my way to get to know other people. And then last year, I just made it my mission to. I said before I even went, I said, you know what, this year I usually do the competition every year, you know, the obstacle course with the thing. And, you know, the guys that were going with me, they're like, are you going to do it this year? And I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hang back and purposely have conversations with people. And I made a mental list in my head of people that I wanted to have, you know, personal conversations with. And I did that. And it kind of broke something loose. And, you know, now I still struggle trying to, you know, work on that with other things in the business, but I'm getting a little bit better at it as time goes on.
Well, I think just vocalizing it here and letting people know that gives yourself some grace. I mean, you can think what you want about Bruce Lee, woo-woo or what, but he said, never speak ill of yourself because your body doesn't know the difference. Never joke around, never be negative to yourself because your body doesn't know the difference. And you really think about it for your brain, it's probably the true thing. You know, if you go out there and dogging yourself, the next thing you know, your brain in the back of it is probably thinking that, where if you just go, you know what, I'm going to talk to everybody, I'm going to get out here and I'm going to see who I meet. And then for yourself, that's a huge thing not to go into that competition because I mean, let's be honest, there's some bragging rights there and there's some chest puffing and high fiving, but that's a good feeling when you're first. I was there for Winter Strong One when Adam Cool built the, you know, the course and did everything. That was a serious event. There was not a lot of joking and high fiving on that one. That one was just on the 3D archery course that Bert had. And we were just breaking each other off. And that was a very painful day. But at the end of it, you know, we all toasted, had a beer, and it was good. For this upcoming year, I'm talking to Bert about putting out a 50 miler before Winter Strong. That won't be any, they're never competitions. It's just 50 miles, 18 hours. But we're looking at doing one out there for everybody. If they want to come out a couple days early, get to know one another, or come in for the back end of it. So I'd like to get some folk out there to get to talk, because that's the one thing you get out of when you do one of these 50s is you never know who you're going to have. Cam Haynes and Tulsi Gabbard are friends of mine, and they did the one in Oahu in December, and so did Tulsi's sister, V. She's awesome. V's a badass. And we go out there, and there's just random people walking up being like, that's Tulsi Gabbard. What is she doing here? I'm like, well, she's a friend. She's walking like everyone else. Talk to her. Same with Cam and Rihanna Carey. You know, Cam and Rihanna came out, same thing. And they're just like, why are they here? I'm like, because they give a damn about people. They want to be a part of the ruck. Just sure. Go say hi. And it's been that way. Like every time Laura or Brian Peters, they'll do them. It's the same thing. People are like, I got played in the NFL for how many years? And we know her from Naked and Afraid and all the survival stuff. And it just kind of evolving and growing where everyone just gets together. So next Winter Strong, I'd like to have that again. Bring a bunch of folk out, get to know one another, and hopefully, you know, leave some of our bullshit behind. But I bring that up to say with the Winter Strong upcoming this year, I'd like to put a quiet challenge down to my friends there and be like, cool, I want you not to hang out with each other for a little bit. We'll do it at night every time around the fire. But how about we get together with people we don't know? And then ultimately, I'd like to put out a Discord server, which is easy to build, or just an email chain with those folks that went there. Who are you? What'd you do? Where you're from? And how do we help each other? Because when you're looking to doing, you know, something for your non and you need stuff out there, the next thing you know, somebody like Rich Tannery from Vulcan Electric Vehicles can pipe in and be like, hey man, how about we help you with this? Or, you know, Greg and the team at Wolf Brigade or Dudley or someone can just be like, sure, what do you need? And I think that's something that we kind of forget sometimes in our community because we are all so fast paced that we need to sit back, take a moment, call each other if we can't be in face to face and say, hey man, how is it going? And really get that personal, you know, reaction from them. Because in social media anymore, everyone just says, oh, I'm good. Everything's fine. One of our guys who committed suicide in 2021, going into 22, everyone saw him the day before, everything was good. Everyone was laughing. He was joking. It was a good day. That next night it wasn't, and he committed suicide. And everyone thought he was totally fine. And from 2019 to 2022, my group, I think we had either 8 or 12, and it's a big jump, but I'm trying to remember for the years, just the brain doesn't work so well sometimes, suicides. I know we had 6 off of guys that were on the same ODA at one point, and they had all committed suicide. And that's what you're looking at. And that's why we need to get together. That's why we need to talk to one another. And that's one of the reasons we do these things, you know?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's definitely needed.
You guys at Clean Eats, honest to God, that's why I saw it at every Clean Eats I've been to. And it's already seeing it at the Colorado Springs one here that opens next week, is the community that is built there that you guys have. Because you guys, I'll stay collectively from the people I've met at your organization. You guys bring people together in more than just food. People came in there, a couple bodybuilders in Austin come in and they had their orders ready. As soon as they walked in, like, oh, we're going to get your stuff together. Got the big bags together. You know, how are you doing? When's the next show? And like, there was general interest behind the eyes of the person speaking and the guy receiving it. I mean, you know this from, you know, throwing weights around. Like, it's one thing to lift and be strong. It's another thing to just be emotionally tough. And that's the one thing that I think no matter who you are, it's the hardest thing to do. And some of my friends who were in pro strongman or bodybuilding, that's where they struggle sometimes, is because they're doing it to hide other things. And this guy, like, his face lit up when they asked him about him, because he's in his mind like, shit, they remember me. They really do get it. So that's awesome. You guys do that everywhere you are, you know, and Rick and Chris here, they do the same thing. So it's great to see. So again, I got to say thank you, because you guys are doing the same thing. Like, it's happened to Sorenex. You just do it every place I've been to so far. Your team in Fisher, Indiana, I go to bat for those guys. Like, we're coming back to Indiana just for them. Like, I will always be in Indiana because of it. It was awesome.
Yeah, he's a really good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would lump myself into that category you were just talking about. Again, that's what I was, you know, articulating a minute ago, is that is the one thing that I still battle with. It's just, you know, putting myself out there and being vulnerable like that, and trying to, you know, I don't know what the cliche terms are now, building a personal brand and things like that. Like, I'm okay doing it. You know, it doesn't bother me. And it's funny, I was on the phone a couple hours ago, actually earlier this afternoon, and we were joking around about, you know, every company now, it seems like they're doing an outdoors division of their company, which is great. You know, on one hand, it is awesome that people are doing that, because if it can get one more person in the outdoors and get them exposed to that, then it's a win. You know what I mean? But I had made a joke about, you know, well, you know, everybody else is doing it, why don't I just do like a CE outdoors division? And he was like, well, why don't you? And I was like, man, I can't do that. I just, it wouldn't feel right to me. It wouldn't feel good for me to do that at the moment. Maybe down the road, but I don't think
I understand that, but for a market space, you guys could definitely go into the hunting space with that, and, you know, military space, because both of them overlap so much that it would be a good thing. Or you just have people that you have at your organizations that hunt or in the military, or just go out and get outside, come together and just be like, cool, this is what we do. Clean eats. Yep. This is clean eats. But guess what? You want to get into a little more of that? Here's where we are. I think that would go a long way. There's an actual nonprofit called Hunters of Color that does that. And, you know, they're a bunch of like black people that get out there and get after it. And they bring people from the cities out there and say, hey, guess what? You can be out here too.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I've reached out to them a few times. I want to get them out to Iraq. But it's stuff like that, because that's the hardest thing, is if you don't know, you don't know. And it could be as simple as, I don't know what boots to wear. I don't know what gear to buy. What food do I eat? And if you guys don't want to do an outdoor, you don't have to, man. But you could definitely have your people out there who do it, you know, be a part of that, which you guys already do because you're such a big family. So I think you guys do that effortlessly no matter what, because you guys find ways of getting into your clients' like lives in the best of ways to help them be better people. And, you know, you do that through food and community. You take that outside just a one step further from the pavement to the trail. I mean, that's nothing more than your people reaching out even more, which, sure, like I said, you guys do that better than I've seen. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think the way that I was telling him earlier was, one, the integrity piece behind myself. You know, I don't feel like I have the credibility yet to be able to take that step and do it under our brand. Maybe someday, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, like, I mean, the CEO doesn't do everything. I mean, you could have someone you bring in there to do that, and I'll challenge you on that, because you could absolutely crush.
That's exactly what he said, the exact same thing. But I don't know. Where was I going with that? I don't even remember now. But anyway,
it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's just a good thing about this. We can talk.
It's just a hard thing to put yourself out there and do that. And, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, and he's like, well, man, why don't you reach out to some of these other guys and, you know, try to get yourself on, you know, X podcast or XYZ or somebody else's deal like that. And I'm like, I don't know, man. It's just like, what am I going to do? Pick up the phone and call and ask? Even though I know that's the answer. I know that's the answer.
But that's an odd thing to do. It's just like, you know, asking for or soliciting for any kind of nonprofit donation, whether it be in kind or financial. It's the same thing with a podcast, only weirder, because a lot of them are your friends and you're like, yeah, but we already, you know, talk all the time. Why do we have to, you know, talk with you know, headphones? But you never know who's going to hear. And you never know how you can impact and affect change on someone else. Like you and Yvonne's story of how you started the company. I mean, that for one is huge. I think people would hear that and be like, they knew each other how long, they did what, and now where are they? You know, like, and just, that's a lot of trust, dedication, and commitment, man. I mean, that's heavy in itself, which is an awesome story to tell.
Yeah. It's getting better. It's getting easier, but it's still a weird thing, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, come on out for a ruck. We'll get you prepped up. I got an 11-week training program that we can send to you. One of our movement specialists at group, he built it, did it. We're going to do a video series on it as well. But it gets you from – you're in really good shape, but it gets you from where you are to where you'll do the 50 – get done and then jump in with a Spartan race with us afterwards, which is what we're doing now. We're knocking out 50 miles, shaking it off and going right into a 15 miler. And this Dallas, we'll do the 50, shake it off and go to a 30 miler, finish that, go into a 15 miler and do about 85 miles in 48 hours. And then we'll do a 10K, 5K the next day and wrap it up. So, you know, you can always jump in.
Yes, I mean, send it to me. I'm in all honesty, I'm going to Montana with Andy Mokel.
Yeah. Andy's good people.
Mid-November, toward the end of November for an elk hunt. And I'm nowhere near conditioned for that yet. So I was dealing with a leg injury for, man, 2.5, almost 3 months. So I couldn't run, couldn't do any kind of, you know, if I was going to do intense cardio, it was on a skier. And those, I don't know if you've ever played with one of those. That's like, I'd rather plop my eyeball out with a dulling pin than sit on one of those for 5 minutes.
I hate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Atrocious. But I'm just now getting to where I'm 100% and I can take off running. But even rucking, you know, that for the last 2.5 months was going to be impossible for me to do. So I need to start switching up the way that I'm training right now to kind of get ready for that. But, you know, the only hard part about it for me, and it's not even, I mean, it is what it is. I just got to deal with it. That old saying, the only way to train for elevation is in elevation.
Yeah.
And I'm actually like below sea level. So it's,
yeah, where you guys are.
It's two different worlds. You know, breathing here at sea level is 18 times better than 8,000 feet.
Yeah. There are some ways to get around it. You know, there's some medication you can take. The one thing we use, I was on a climbing team for like 10 years, is you have like an acid tablets. They kind of help of all things. Cetazolamide helps really well for a prescription. Some people aren't affected like myself. I'm not affected by altitude.
It didn't bother me either.
Yeah, I went up Denali. Yeah. It was at 20,000 feet in Denali and I was totally fine. I go in the altitude chamber. I'm at 25K. Where you're supposed to be cyanotic, which means like blue lips and, you know, kind of some stuff happening. Nothing happens to me. No like reduction in like mental capability. So for some, it doesn't affect. So you could be lucky. It doesn't affect you. The tip, I'll give you two tricks for rucking that'll make it exponentially easier as you're moving is as you walk, be able to feel your hip bones. So you think chest forward? No, you want to make sure your hips are forward because then your lower back is stacked with your spine. And as you're moving, you're going to flow better because in your psoas and your low back and everything isn't like tightening up and doing this number. David Goggins actually spoke about that on Rogan's podcast one time where he was shrinking because his muscles were so tight. If you can walk with your hips forward like that, that's how we do our 50s. You get through it so much easier that way. That's the one thing. And then the next thing I would say is go on a treadmill that's self-propelled like a Woodway or one of those, doesn't matter which one, and be in just socks and walk. And I want you to walk for about 1,000 calories at a time. That will condition your feet better than just about anything else out there. And that's what I do. I now do like around here, I can do a lot of like barefoot or like extreme minimalist running. And I'll do that not for long distances, but just enough to keep the feet tough. And those are the two things I can recommend. You do those two things in preparation and you rock with your hip bones forward when you're walking, you're set. After that, everything else, because you're a strong guy. I mean, your body's going to hold you up. But those are the two recommendations I'll give you that'll make it a lot easier. Walking barefoot or in socks on a self-propelled treadmill, do it for 1,000 calories, get off, do it again. And then always walking hips forward. Okay. Trust me. The strength that you have in your body and doing those things, you're set.
Rucking's not really one thing that I do a lot of.
No, but you do a bunch of squats. You do a bunch of, you know, probably front squats. You do a bunch of things with lunges. Your quads and hamstrings are super strong. So your body is built for it. You just haven't done it. Now, the one thing you're going to have a problem with is getting the pack to fit around your broad shoulders and chest. So you'll have to find the right pack. Give me a year. I'm building a prototype that'll change that. One of my jobs in group is I was a force modernization NCOIC. So I worked at developing better equipment or using what we have and going through the fund lines of the five different commodities and doing that. And then I wrote the Arctic requirements documents for First Special Forces Command in USASOC and rewrote everything to go for cold weather. So I know gear. So I'm going to be changing the way we have our packs, and then you won't have those issues.
Where do most people go to get them now? Do they just the Go Ruck website, or is it just all over the place? Or
it's all over the place, man. Like whatever works for your body, it's like footwear. You got to find what works for your feet. You got to find what pack works for you. Deuter, which is a German company, D-E-U-T-E-R, for a lightweight pack. That's who we use a lot. We have another company called 18 Series that's coming on board. 18 Series built by two Green Berets, and they everything they build is like, okay, would I use this in combat? How would this work? Could I use this on a mountain team? And they put that to the test with everything they built. And I'll be working with them on some stuff. For yourself,
what was that called? Sorry, I'm going to write it down.
Not a problem. 18 series, the number 18, and then the word series, S-E-R-I-E-S, bags.com, I believe is their website. But it is pioneered right now by a man named Rich Moore. Rich spent a lot of time in 3rd Special Forces Group, who were like the workhorses of Iraq, and then came over to 10th Group and got it on in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now he's building equipment, and I'll connect you personally to Rich. I took him out with me to Green Bay, and he worked with the Packers, showing him some gear. And he was an amazing Green Beret for 23 years. This guy's a genius and a really hard-nosed guy. But he was able to show them some of the stuff they do. We did some talks, and his equipment is about as good as it gets. Glenn's got some good stuff at Everly, but for a broader chest guy like you, check out Kifaru and QU for like packs you're going to take up the hill. You want to get that on your back now. You really want to mess with it and then go from there.
Greg and Glenn were awesome. The last trip out there that I took. I mean, Greg spent easily 2 or 3 days on the phone with me for more than an hour at a time, going through gear lists and just tips and tricks and things to look for and stuff like that. And I mean, the dude sent me their largest, the vapor pack they have. Uh-huh. And then he also sent me the smaller size. The dude just sent them to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Greg, let me pay you for these. Like these are expensive. He's like, Nope. Yeah. Take them, try them. And I'm like, okay. You know, so I love supporting those guys. That is some of the most salt of the earth guys right there.
Yeah. Well, awesome. You got to think Glenn has lived the Forrest Gump lifestyle. The man has done everything. He's been on top of many mountains. Glenn Everly is a special human being. And that is somebody that when he wanted to do a bag company, he put everything into it. And they truly stay on that cutting edge of innovation. But like a lot of companies, they won't innovate to innovate. They do it to impact change, which is what I love about the guys at Everly Stock. They got a bag, the X2, which would be good for your size frame as well. It's a smaller hunting bag. I'd look at that. I would also look at their frame that you can attach to, honest to God.
Oh, I have them.
Good. That's a great way to go. And I can get you offline with like truly breaking down, talking about your footwear, socks, all that stuff, man. Like I had to dive deep into that. And now that I'm doing this and helping others, one part of that is making sure they get across that 50-mile finish line. So a lot of goes into gear, and it's a lot more than people think, which is kind of funny, but yeah, I'll nerd out on that all day.
How many people, getting back to the rucks, how many people don't make it?
Everyone makes it. And I'll tell you why, because if you're rucking with us and you need to take a break, you get in the van, you get in the vehicle, you refit, you get back out there. We've had fellas that, we'll have like a medical thing happen. A guy in New York, actually, he went out and partied a little too hard the night before. He was coming out of another unit and he went down mile 20 and his medic said, hey, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get in the van and you're going to stay in the van until I say you get out. He was in the van for almost the next 30 miles. He almost had to be in the van for the rest of the event. And that's okay. So no one fails. No one's going to go home and tap out. Like, we are going to make sure everyone who starts finishes. So we have support vehicles. We get people in and out. We'll have a physical therapist there. We'll work on you as you go. We stop every 10 miles and we do, you know, foot check. We do food. We do water and all that's provided. We get them back out there and then we get them going. Because even in the van, if you're talking to folk, you're still out there communicating. Because at 3 a.m., ain't a lot going on. You're either walking or talking. Yeah. And you're, you know, everyone will finish in Indiana. That Indianapolis ruck took 19 hours and 20 minutes because I would not let anyone quit. I said, that's fine. We're going to go slower. I said, I don't care about the timeline. We're going to blow it. I don't care. What matters is everyone gets across. We did that. People were sitting in the shades. They were relaxing. And then everybody, because we always run it in, everybody ran it in for that last quarter to 10th of a mile, sprinting onto the Indianapolis State Capitol steps. That's a special moment for those guys because yeah. One of the fellas works for your team out there in Fisher, and he was having it hard in the van. I said, get in the van. He didn't want to. And I was like, you're getting in the van. He got in the van, got his feet better. He let it in for the last run, and he was the guy sprinting it in at the front. And Joey did an amazing job. So it's that kind of, you know, dedication at the end of it where everyone comes through and is like, what's next? I can do this. I can do anything. And I'm not yeah. out there with a ticker saying you did 49.2 miles. No. Like, you're in, you did it. And you're getting the process. The process of it is the healing that happens between mile one and 50 and the bullshitting and the laughter that happens. And, you know, we got a tagline of, you know, find, facilitate, and family. We're going to find you in need. We're going to facilitate your treatment and you're part of our family. That happens whether you're on the ruck or whether you need help. And on the ruck, a lot of that happens, like I was saying, those mid 30 milers to the end where everyone opens up. But it's awesome, man. Like no one quits. No one fails.
No, that's awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, man, thank you for sharing, you know, the story, the mission behind 50 for the Fallen. I actually, you know, I'd never heard that from you before. I didn't really know, understand all of the ins and outs of how you did it. I just knew you, great guy, and I knew it was a great cause, and I'm always willing to be involved. But now that I have a better understanding of it, now I'm even further in. So
thank you. Well, for
I'll
that.
Tell you this one. I'm going to throw it back at you. November 4th and 5th, we are in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We start at the Brown County Veterans Memorial, right outside of Lambeau, 100 yards from the Lambeau parking lot, not even a quarter mile to the stadium. We're going to ruck 50 miles around the city. We are going to end that, and we are the halftime show for the November 5th game. So we are going to run onto the field November 5th, about 1:20. And we take the field and we are like coming in, bringing 50 people, 50 miles.
That's across. Awesome. Yeah,
that's if you awesome. Want to be a part, or if you have some people at Clean Eats who want to be a part, you guys will forever be invited. But this has never been done before. So yeah. I'd love to get you guys out there for that one. Dallas, I got the team out of, I got some friends of mine now that I can say are driving up from Round Rock just to ruck with us and just be involved. And James and some of the guys were like, yeah. James and Jordan were like, we're in. We're just coming up to ruck and be a part of it. So, I, you know, again, like, you guys are awesome.
Those are great kids, man. They're awesome.
Yes, they are.
Well, how does share contact information where people can find you? And
so if you want to get a hold of us, you can go to 50FTF.org. That's 50FTF.org. That is our website. Now, if you want to really get a hold of us, my email is chad@50ftf.org. I answer everything. If it comes through social media, I'm seeing every post that goes through there. Myself or Katie will respond to everything. And then you'll see us on social media at 50 for the Fallen. You'll see the website. You've got the email. And with this upcoming event in Green Bay, will pop in the next year. We're working with Spartan, and you'll see us at a lot of Spartan races. And, you know, the goal there is to get people to do our ruck, and then we knock out the Spartan races together. That's a lot for some people, and I understand that's just a lot. But you can always come out and talk to us. And then if you're within the Sorinex family and all those, you know, tentacles that that goes into, you probably know someone who knows me pretty well, and you can get my number. And yeah, I'll always pick up.
Awesome. Well, guys, if you're listening and you want something, I'll call it intense because that's what it is. But if you're looking for something intense to train for, or, you know, something to I don't want to say compete, but, you know, something to challenge yourself, a physical event to challenge yourself in, I would highly recommend doing this. It's for a great cause and amazing people. So, Chad, again, man, thank you for the time. I can't thank you enough for that. And it's been great.
Don, thank you so much.
All right, guys, till next time.